We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good windy day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Jimmy Clark in Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Well, according to Lacey Swope, let me repeat what she said. Here's what you need to know today, Oklahoma. Ponytail warning, door dent warning, power outages likely, dangerous driving conditions. Well, she forgot us farmers again. It's not a good day to be stripping cotton, picking cotton, thrashing peanuts. It is currently right now in the Elk City area at 63 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is way low at 27. North wind 34 miles an hour, gusting up to 48 miles an hour. And let's, instead of picking on temperatures that are in our listening area, let's look at wind gust. Right now, Bessie, Oklahoma has the highest wind gust in the state of Oklahoma at 51 miles an hour. And the Eric is 48 miles an hour. Fort Cobb is 48. 50 mile an hour at Putnam. It is windy. Our whole listening area has the highest wind gust in the state of Oklahoma, because in the eastern part of Oklahoma, it's 24. Actually, in the very far western part of the Oklahoma Panhandle, it's only 29 mile an hour gust. So, man, it's breezy. Well, yesterday I touched a little bit on it, or what I was participating in yesterday here north of Elk, and I just wanted to top it off today. And I wanted to give a big shout out to Christian Hall. He's a young gentleman, 11 years old, very nice, very polite. He goes to school at Sweetwater. And yesterday he come up to me and he said, "I know you. I know your voice. You're on Tradio." And then he re-corrected himself. "Oh, yeah, you're on the Today in Ag show." Well, anyway, he was a nice gentleman, nice kid. All of them were, but this he stood out a little bit because he was bragging on me a little bit. But anyway, Christian Hall, and his dad does a lot of custom baling and swathing over there in the Sweetwater area. So you guys probably heard of them around in that area over there. But Christian, thank you so much for that compliment. But the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District put on an outdoor classroom last week and this week, and the people they had there was with the Forest Service, Warsaw Battlefield National Historical Site, National Park Service was there, OSU Extension was there, the Oklahoma Highway Patrol was there, Elk City Police Department was there, the Indian Heritage and Culture was there, and a shout out to them because that teepee that they put up out there withstood the wind yesterday. So they know how to build a teepee. Greer County Conservation District was there. National Resources Conservation, the NRCS, was there. OSU Extension, another, was there again on ATV safety. Ag in the Classroom was there. Pheasants and Quail Forever was there. We were talking about habitat, difference in good habitat and bad habitat. And a big shout out to Marcus Thibodeau from the WMA manager for the Oklahoma Wildlife Department from Pack Saddle in Ellis County, and he oversees the Black Kettle. He was there helping us. And then Department of Wildlife was there on feral hog biology and local trapping areas. All the schools that participated were Sayre, Merritt, Canute, Cheyenne, Sweetwater, Hammond, and some local homeschool groups were there. But anyway, it was a fun day. And thank you, Cassandra, from over at Sayre for inviting us to be there to help you guys yesterday. That's a cool deal. I'm sorry. I told you yesterday I didn't have no idea that was there. And I do now. It's a pretty cool setup. And my head of the Quail and Pheasants Forever Laura MacGyver. She came out from the city yesterday for a little bit, spent some time out here. So it was all good. But, man, we got lots going on today. So I'm just going to quickly go over just the cash grain prices in Oklahoma as of an hour ago. Hard red winter wheat was $7.48. Corn was $5.57. Milo was $5.60. Soybeans are $11.74, so everything's slightly higher. I have one of the most famous and well-respected people in the peanut industry and used to be in the pecan industry is going to be on with me here right after this break. Mr. Tyrone Spearman. It's not Spearman. It's Spearman. That's what he told me. It's Spearman. So he stands out a little bit. He is fun to listen to and talk to, but he's also very knowledgeable on what's going on in the world of peanuts all over the United States, including worldwide. And we're going to have him on here in a minute. So you guys just hang in there, and I'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. I'm so excited. My guest today, I love listening to him. He puts out a report almost weekly, probably every week, or if not daily, for the Southeast AgNet down in the southeastern part of the United States. But before I get to Mr. Tyrone Spearman, current temperature is 63 degrees, and the wind is out of the north at 34, gusting up to 49 miles an hour here in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle. Well, I want everybody to give a big shout out to my special guest today, Mr. Tyrone Spearman, because that's the way you said it yesterday. It wasn't Spearman, it's Spearman. Is that correct?
No, it's Spearman. You got it right.
Okay. Well, yesterday, yesterday when you was talking to me, you kind of made it clear, Spearman. So, but welcome to the show. And I was looking at your resume last week, and so I printed it out today so I could have it here in front of me. What do you have any time for hobbies?
No time for hobbies. Everything's a hobby.
Oh, I
stay busy.
I tell you what, I'm just going to go over just a little bit of this for our listeners. And I was shocked last night when I was telling the Gary and Chad, who I'm helping do the peanut harvest with, I said, I got a really cool guest you guys need to listen to today. And I said, Tyrone Spearman. And they's like, really? We love him. I was like, uh-oh. Anyway, so this is going to be good. But you're the editor of the Peanut Farm Market News. And that's a three times a week newsletter on the peanut markets, usually the hottest news in the peanut industry, you said. And you're also the editor of the Peanut Grower magazine, which is mailed to over 10,000 peanut farmers. And what you, you're also executive director of the National Peanut Buying Points Association. Man, I could just go on the whole show, but I want to talk to you some more. But wow, you're good.
Yeah, let's talk peanut.
Yeah, you're good. And,
well, thank you.
Yeah, but you just got done last week with the Sunbelt Expo, is that right?
That's right. We had the Sunbelt out of the Expo and down in Moultrie, Georgia, with about, 25,000 people visiting us and seeing all of our exhibits and this type of thing. But it was a great show for 3 days.
Oh, did you learn anything about peanuts new?
I grilled 3,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and gave them away.
How do you grill a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I got to know.
Well, you take your peanut butter and jelly. We were using Jif and Smucker's and mix it half and half. And then you spread it on your bread. And then you take your sandwich and throw it on the grill. Put a little butter on both sides. And, man, some kind of good eating.
Wow, I'm going to shut the show down now, and I'll call you next week. I'm going to go try that.
Mix it up.
I have never heard that before, and I've heard of a lot of unusual, but cool ways to do stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to get on that one.
You'll love that hot grill, peanut butter, and jelly.
All right. Well, I'm sure everybody everybody, we are live on Facebook and the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697 is hot right now. So why I have Mr. Spearman on the phone with me. If you guys got any questions that you would like to ask, be sure and text in. And why he's on the show, because you got an appointment at 2 o'clock. So how long do I have you till? 5 till or 10 till, 15 till?
Oh, yeah. You got plenty of time. Okay. I can extend that.
Okay, cool. Very good. Yeah, because I want to talk to you. So we're in the middle of peanut harvest, and I'd say we're probably half done. I think all the digging's done, but we got 50 mile an hour winds here yesterday and today, and thrashing is just not. It's not good.
No, it's not good. You got about 15,000 acres out there in Oklahoma, and got a lot of good friends that's in research at Oklahoma State. So Oklahoma's always been an important state in this peanut business.
Yep. And because we're in Beckham County here. Our listening area covers almost all the peanut area, but the main one's Caddo County, and they're the biggest grower. And in Beckham County, where I live and where our show is, they're the second biggest county. And I think I know all the peanut growers in Beckham County, but maybe a few, and I help a couple, and there's some good people that grow peanuts here in Oklahoma.
Yeah. There used to be two or three out there that got my newsletter and would call me back, want to know what something meant, and I always had a lot of good conversations about Oklahoma.
Well, I got a text already. It says, tell Tyrone, Brian Silk, and Randy Patton say hello.
That's a wild group.
You think? And then, I've seen them both in the last 3 days. How's that? So
that's great.
And Brian wants to know, but actually his nickname here is Bill Dance. Brian Silk, his name is Bill Dance. Him and I went crappie fishing last spring over here at a lake along I-40. And he was over there, and his pole was bent over, and he was acting like this is the biggest fish. And I was like, what the heck's he got on the line? And he was fishing. It was about a one-pound crappie. And I said, and then I finally focused on the pole instead of the fish and the swirl in the water and noticed it was just as ultralight pole as you could get. I said, what are you fishing with that ultralight crap for? He said, it's more funner. So anyway, I called him Bill Dance because that's what Bill Dance does. But Brian didn't fall in the water. No, he didn't. So he's wanting to know, do you think peanuts are going to be higher next year?
Yes, I think peanuts are going to be a little higher next year. We've got a good market going right now, and this crop is not quite as big as they're expecting. And we've got a few problems on the export market because of the pandemic has slowed our shipments out of here with these lack of containers.
Right.
And that's going to hurt us a little bit. But the domestic market is up. It's a 0.3 increase, setting a new all-time record of the per capita consumption at 7.9 pounds per person per year. So peanut butter was going up until recently. We were down this month about 3%, mainly because we can't get ingredients and can't get people to work. We've had to shut down some lines at the factories, and I can't get some of the ingredients we need to keep making peanut butter 24 hours a day.
So it's just not only the beef packers, it's everybody trying to
get
help.
Yeah, everybody.
And trying to get help.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, that's been the hottest news the last 2 or 3 months is the, you know, the between the producers and the beef packers. And there's just a lot going on, and everybody wants to point fingers at everybody. But, it's just basically the pandemic just... It changed the world.
And it did.
And I don't know if it's going to be long-term or what. In my heart, I'm hoping it's short-term. But the way and things are crazy and stuff with this shipping stuff and, jacking price, the price of everything has gone up. You know this as well as I do in the peanut deal.
Right.
It goes on with basically every farm grain or product that's grown on a farm. Chemicals are up, fertilizers up, fuels up, equipment's up. I mean, but the market's really not. The market's steadily been going up on the grains, small grains anyway. Peanuts, that's all contracted in advance. But I'm pretty sure that's why Brian was wanting to know if the prices were looking up next year.
It's going to be strong for next year.
Well,
the good news is that peanut butter prices have not gone up.
Right.
You'll get a good deal.
What's I had a text line question here. Any new Virginia varieties that stand out to you?
Not really. I haven't seen any new Virginia varieties. We just got a shortage of Virginia peanuts. We shipped a lot of peanuts into China last year, all the in-shells and everything we could ship over there that was a Seg 3. And China bought about a third of our crop last year, but they're not in the market as much this year. But we have it's hard to find Spanish, and it's hard to find in-shell bright hull Virginias. They're just not out there.
And is there a reason for that?
Well, the market's good, and they are the high-priced ones. They got them, jacked on up. They got a lot of requests for more organics. And there's no organic grown in the southeast, or they're trying to, but they haven't developed them yet. But the organics grown in that area out there of the west is very popular and very priced.
Yeah, anything got organic on it is pretty priced. So help me out here with the organic and our normal peanuts. What are they doing different? How are they making them organic?
It's the chemicals that are applied to them that are approved by USDA.
I got you.
You can only use certain ones, and they have to be approved. If you can get those on your farm and use them and get it certified, then you've got an organic peanut. But it's you have to go through the certification program to be sure.
Sounds like something I need to get into.
Something you need. You're good.
Yeah.
When they're offering $900 to $1,000 a ton for organics, it's important to you might make it work.
Yeah, my wife's big into the organic stuff, and I know what the price of that stuff is. It's not cheap.
No. And it's got a good image right now. I was in California the other day, and man, it's unbelievable how many organic products are on the shelf now.
There's out here in Walmart, there's a whole big long aisle, nothing but organic vegetables and stuff. It's crazy. And then you hear all these rumors about how they can be certified as organic or how they should be certified as organic. So it gets pretty touchy when you start talking to people eating organic stuff. You know, my wife loves grass-fed cattle, And I love grass. Uh-huh. I love grass-fed cattle too, but I love the grass-fed cattle I sell at the sale barn, not to eat. So, but anyway, Mr. Spearman, let me take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk some more peanuts.
Very good.
It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 25th. 1,679 head were sold. 3 head of steers at $397, brought 191. 14 at $485, brought 167.50. 70 at $602, brought 168.75. 16 at $702, brought 156. 46 at $891, brought 150.35. 8 head of heifers at $384, brought 157. 30 at $520, brought 131. 5 at $614, brought 123. 4 at $713, brought 145. 5 at $798, brought 139. Butcher cows were 15 to 78, bred cows 700 to 1285, butcher bulls brought 70 to 93, pairs were 1175 to 1325. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40, exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. And to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Tyrone Spearman on the hotline with you today. Current temperature is 64 degrees. The wind has not calmed down. It's out of the north-northwest at 33 miles an hour with wind gusts now up to 49 miles an hour. Well, you're a hot item today, sir, on the text line because you don't know me very well, so that's the reason, and there's a reason why I don't take live call-ins unless it's the person I'm speaking to live on the deal. But before I ask you these couple of questions that I got here on the text line, do you have a good story on Brian Silt and Randy Patton that you could share on the air?
Not really. I'd be embarrassed to tell it.
I can't wait to confront these two gentlemen. So, anyway, well, Bill Dance Jr., Bandy Silk, that's Brian's son, has a question for you. He asked me, what does he think the price should increase to based on the price of expenses being increased?
It's going to depend on which commodity you're growing. If you're growing peanuts, I think you're going to be up about, seeds going to be up about, 10% only, since we're going through the various universities with the seed. If it was out in the public where they could go high as they wanted to, we'd really be in trouble. But the peanut does not use as much fertilizer. It creates its own, nitrogen. So you won't have a lot of increase on fertilizer there as far as the cost. But equipment's going to be up about 30% if we can find equipment. And if you're going to buy some equipment this year, everybody's trading between each other. So I would guesstimate, 20% on the average might be an increase compared to next year.
And we don't have a clue if the price is going to increase that or not. Does that all?
Well, I think it will.
You think it will?
If we keep the program, I believe the shellers are willing to pay because we need the Spanish and we need the Virginias. We're running enough runners down here to handle the peanut butter market. But the Southwest, if we could get more acres, it'll always be a blessing. I think the price will be there for you.
Well, if I promote your grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you might be running short on runners. So
that'd be all right.
And I'm going to try this. That sounds good. And these peanut farmers out here are probably going, man, we already do that. But they failed to tell Jimmy Clark about it. But anyway, another question for you coming in from the Mr. Chad Ripitoe. That's the gentleman I'm helping, him and his dad. He said to ask you about nematode-resistant peanuts and what variety is the best.
Well, I don't know that. I know there are some varieties that are we've been bred into the research program that are nematode resistant, and those are mainly the only ones I know are in the Southeast. Now, as far as the Southwest, I'd have to talk to my researchers out there to see if they've got a variety that is nematode resistant. But it's a hard problem down here in some fields, and we've got some varieties that handle it pretty good.
Would you put that on your to-do list for me, and maybe I can give you a shout next month and have you back on again next month, and harvest will probably be pretty cleaned up, and we can talk numbers and stuff?
Yeah, I got that list of nematode varieties as well.
Okay, cool. That'd be great.
How far are you from the Peanut Commission out there, the Oklahoma Peanut Commission?
Right down the road.
John Clay at Carnegie?
Yep. Or Les
Joe White.
Yeah, Joe White, and then we have
Les Crawl.
Yeah, and David Knowles. And we are right there. Carnegie's less than about an hour drive from here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the middle of Caddo County. Yeah. Yes, there was a lot of back in the day. I remember back in the 80s when, you know, right in there around Carnegie and Binger and Eakley down there, they just fields of peanuts everywhere. Now there's a lot of cotton going on there now, but there used to be crow hunts going on because the crows were taking over the peanut fields. I just have memories of that, and that's been a long time ago.
Yeah. Mike Kubicek used to work with me out there. I've got an official Oklahoma Oklahoma coat, jacket.
Oh, yeah? It still fit?
it don't fit, but I wear it anyway.
So at the expo last week, was there any new equipment out for peanut harvesting or planting or anything going on?
No, the big discussion down there was the new cotton picker put out by John Deere.
Yep.
That the new one was unveiled for the first time at the Sunbelt Ag Expo, and that was the big discussion there. The peanut new products, I didn't see any new equipment in that area because we've had such a tough year of being too wet in this area, and we need some various equipment to pick it up after you've dug your peanuts, and you need to want to pick up the vines so they can get some wind underneath them and dry out. That's been a thing that we've been trying to get is some equipment in that area.
Right. The normal digger wasn't fluffing them up. I'm taking it from, since it's been so wet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was so wet when it dropped it back down, or either it rained on the peanuts that were dug and beat them in the ground, and you got to fluff them up and get them up.
Yep, you sure do. What's the average normal, just 5-year average, yearly normal? What is peanuts down there usually produce per acre down in there and around Georgia where you're at?
They got us predicted this year to make 4,400 pounds per acre is our predicted average. Now, Oklahoma's recommended, said they're going to be 4,000 pounds per acre. I don't know if that's going to be this year or not, but.
Well, from what I've seen, it's going to be pretty close. I've been helping Chad and Gary here quite a bit. And some of theirs has done really good, and some of them been average. But the field we're going to tomorrow is Chad's pride and joy, and he just can't wait. Neither can I, because I get to bale the hay. So the more bales it makes, the more money I make. Do they bale a lot of hay down there in Georgia?
Not as much as we. It's kind of mixed. Depends on if a farmer has the equipment to do it or not.
Right.
But we get a lot of requests for baled hay or rolled hay down here.
Right. That's what I do.
Rolled hay, and a lot of cattle farmers like to use it.
Well, you was talking about the John Deere cotton picker that was unveiled down there this year. Well, last night after three or four cans of some influencing Coors Light. We talked about how we're going to design a self-propelled peanut thrasher with a baler on the back that steams the dry peanut hay as it goes in the baler. So this will be so. Coors Light beer has designed a lot of stuff in this part of the state.
Yeah, you got that right.
I'm telling you. And Brian and Randy was not involved in this conversation.
So you got some new friends.
Yeah, it's some offspring of theirs. So,
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, you got me. Somewhere, you know, it's pretty fun. But what do you help me out here? And I seen a deal in your resume about the Pecan Grower magazines. What did you do there? What was going on there?
In the Pecan Grower?
Yeah.
I used to be one of their editors that helped to get started. So I was a marketing, I was handling the export market for them and I'm reporting it each month.
Is there as much money as pecans as people say they are?
No.
No, yeah, that's what I thought, because I've seen a lot of pecan grows, but they always got them set up on the roadside to sell them. They're not at the grocery stores or anywhere selling them, so I figured it was a little harder than it looked.
Yeah, the export market was booming for a while, and then it dropped off, and so we've really had a tough time this past year. But you got to be specialized in that pecan area to, you know, go. You just about have to stay in it with all that equipment you have to have and get them cleaned up and be ready. But it's a tough market.
It's got to be a tough market. And I got a pecan grove on land that I rented over here along the river, and there's a pecan grove in there. And there's no telling what happened, but it's over 20 years old. And he hasn't produced any pecans on it yet. So that doesn't sound very profitable.
No.
And he was doing it for the fun of it. He wasn't doing it, you know. Well, he did. I back up and take that back. He said, my sister and I planted this pecan grove, and this was going to be our retirement. Well, they're both still working. Okay, one other question come across the KECO Ag text line. How are the peanuts grading in the southeast?
Very good. This is a very good crop for us. The grades are up, and mainly because we got a lot of rain during the growing season, and the grades are up, and we have almost zero aflatoxin. And last year we were filled up with aflatoxin, and we had to have a lot of peanuts that had to be blanched to meet the guidelines of 15 parts per billion. And then all of a sudden, this year has cooled down, a lot of rain, and the grades are up, and zero aflatoxin.
Will you tell all of our listeners what that is? I mean, I got some peanut
aflatoxin.
Yep.
Aflatoxin is a little mold that grows on your peanuts that you can, it's in the natural air, but if it gets to a peanut during the growing season and you get real dry conditions, this little mold will start growing on the peanut, and you get it between the aflatoxin usually occurs between the hull and the kernel on the inside. The kernel will shrink up a little bit, and it'll give you a little area where it can develop. And most of those, if you get a peanut with a 15 parts per billion, you can't use it. It goes to the oil market, and it's purified and taken out.
Well, another question come across. Where do you see peanuts being in the next 10 to 15 years?
I see peanuts being one of the most popular items in the next 10 years, mainly because it is grown, and, you know, it's a vegetable, and you don't have any. It's a high protein. We have research now that shows that a little handful of peanuts a day will prevent cancer, prevent diabetes. It's like a pill. It's like a vitamin and a mineral. And I think as more people discover that nuts in general are good for you, you're going to see that market move, and you're going to have other proteins are going to be real high, and your other nuts are going to be out of sight on price, and peanuts and peanut butter is going to be more popular in the future.
Well, I took a test here a couple, two, 3 years ago on trying to fix my thyroid problem. And when I took these blood tests, matter of fact, they went to Georgia. So some of those people in the medical field down there in Atlanta, you need to go by and talk to them a little bit, because when I got this test back, it said I was allergic to five foods. Cauliflower, which did not hurt my feelings one bit. Chocolate, tea or coffee, peanut butter. And I about had a fit. So I paid extra money to be retested. Same results, but I still eat it. So anyway, and my thyroids are getting better. So it wasn't peanuts that was doing it. But anyway, yeah, man, I have a big love for peanuts. Another gentleman texts in, do they have any nematode problems down in the Southeast?
Yes, we have nematode problems, but it's usually, it seems the fact that we have it in certain fields, and it's hard to get rid of, and it'll ride your plows to another field if you're not careful. But the nematodes that we have down here, we try to switch to another variety that is nematode resistant and try to breed it out of there. So we do have some problems, but not as much as you think.
Well, have they been successful in breeding that out of there?
Yeah, the new varieties are very popular in certain areas where you got a nematode problem. And I'll get those varieties for you, so runner-type peanuts that they have developed with the USDA, and it's nematode-resistant.
Great. Well, you don't know how blessed I feel having you on the show today, and like I said...
Well, I'm so honored that you called.
I told you I wasn't a professional journalist when I called you, so I guess you can tell I'm not. But anyway, we have fun. This is a local ag show, and we got lots of listeners in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, but if you will, save me a spot next month. Harvest should be pretty close to being done over with, and some numbers start coming in and some grades, and we'll kind of know what our numbers are in this area over here. Because like I said, I think I looked on the deal, and I think we're like 46% complete on peanut harvest, and I don't know how accurate that is, but I bet it's pretty close. And but anyway, I'd love to have I'd love to have you on the show again next month. And we'll
Yes, sir. Anytime suits me. I'm ready to talk peanuts anytime.
Yeah, because and maybe I'll get Randy and Brian in here. How would that be?
Oh, that'd be great.
Because Brian Silk has a radio face. You know that, right?
Well, I got one of them, too, so we can compare notes.
Oh, that'd be great. Anyway, thank you so much for being on. I know you got an appointment here, and I got the Long Ranger forecast coming up to finish the show. And you have a great day, and God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, that was Tyrone Spearman on the show with me today, and he wasn't totally hilarious today, but he's a funny guy. But anyway, he knows his peanuts. If anybody in this country knows peanuts, it's him, Brian Silk, and Randy Patton. From what I heard today, so I'm going to dig into this and do a little investigative reporting for all my listeners out there, and we're going to find out what happened with Tyrone Spearman, Brian Silk, and Randy Patton. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back, and current temperature 65 degrees. Nathan Brewer dew point's 27. Winds are 29, gusting to 36. Let's take a look at our listening area wind gusts real quick. Boom! Tipton is 53. Putnam's 50, Camargo's 51. It's still blowing, but there's a spot right here amongst Greer County and a little bit of Kiowa County and a touch scotch of Washita and Beckham County that the wind gusts are down into the 30s. So enjoy this break because there's 50-mile to 60-mile-an-hour gusts right behind you coming. We are under a wind advisory warning. High wind warning till 7 o'clock tonight, and a wind advisory till 7 o'clock. That don't even make any sense. High wind advisory, we know what's coming, but that's coming. The day's forecast for a high at 66, windy, tonight breezy. It's not going to calm down much, but 28 to 30 miles an hour all night tonight. Tomorrow is going to be breezy, but just 20 to 24 miles an hour, high of 68. I didn't see this morning, but I'm seeing it now. Tomorrow evening, 38 degrees in our listening area, in parts of our listening area. Saturday, 73, no wind. It's going to be a beautiful day Saturday. Sunday, 65. Monday, 64 degrees. And we got some freezing coming on next, cool temperatures coming on next week. So pay attention to what's coming next week. I don't think it's going to get extremely cold, but we're going to have a couple of nights of frost next week. So that'll be that. What else we got going on here? Let's see. We got, anyway, I really enjoyed Tyrone being in. He's a character. As Brian Silk says, he's a hoot. Anyway, so we'll get to that on the next deal when Brian and Randy come in and be on the show with me when Mr. Spearman comes back in there. Well, earlier I said the hard red winter wheat was 748, corn 557, Milo 560, and soybeans cash prices 1174 a bushel. Well, soybeans were modestly higher in overnight trading, while grains were lower. Signs of demand have been trickling in the past couple weeks, underpinning prices. Exporters said China bought 199,000 metric tons, and Mexico purchased 125,730 metric tons of U.S. soybeans, according to the USDA. Wheat futures were lower overnight after Egypt, the world's largest importer of grain, said Wednesday it bought Russian, Ukrainian, and Romanian wheat. The North African country bought 180,000 metric tons from Russia, 120,000 tons from Ukraine, and 60,000 tons from Romania, according to the Egypt's General Authority for Supply Commodities. The purchases were expected, though Egypt reportedly was looking at wheat from several other countries, including the United States. Traders also were watching government reports on as the USDA is scheduled to release its weekly export sales report this morning, and it hadn't come in as before the show, so it's agriculture prices report tomorrow afternoon. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 2.25 to 12.52 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added 40 cents to $331.30 a short ton, while soy oil was down 0.36 cents to $61.06 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery lost 0.25 cents, and it's at 5.56 and 3/4 a bushel right now. Wheat futures for December fell 2.25 to 7.57.5, while Kansas City futures dropped 3.5 cents to 7.79 a bushel. Ethanol production hit second highest level ever. So last week was the highest level ever. Ethanol output last week jumped to the second highest level on record, while stockpiles declined, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of biofuels surged to an average of 1.106 million barrels a day in the week through October 26, according to EIA. That's up from 1.096 million a week earlier and the second highest output, but only behind 1.108 million barrels a day on average reported in the week that ended on December 1st, 2017. In the Midwest, output came in at 1.051 million barrels a day, up from 1.041 million a week earlier, and the highest average since record keeping began in 2010, government data shows. East Coast production rose to an average of 12,000 barrels a day last week, up from 11,000 barrels a week earlier. The Rocky Mountain output was unchanged at 10,000 barrels a day, and West Coast production remained at 9,000 barrels on average. Gulf Coast production was the outlier, falling to an average of 23,000 barrels a day from 24,000 barrels a day last week. Ethanol inventories, meanwhile, declined week to week. Stockpiles total 19.925 million barrels a day, down from 20.08 million barrels the previous week, according to the EIA in its report. Well, winds, low humidity created by conditions in the southern plains. I don't know if anybody's been outside today, but high wind warnings and red flag warnings have been issued for across most of the southern plains, which includes Oklahoma, according to the National Weather Service. Winds started this morning will be sustained from 35 to 40 miles an hour in parts of southwest Oklahoma and the Oklahoma Panhandle and western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle with gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Damaging winds will blow down trees and power lines, the agency said. The travel will be difficult, especially for high-profile vehicles. So, to make this in plain English for you, if you're going westbound on I-40, try to stay on the north side of the trucks so they don't blow over on you. And then just the opposite if you're going eastbound. You won't be on the north side of the truck. If the wind blows you into the truck, that's your fault. But at least when the trailer falls over, it won't fall over on you. Because this morning when I was coming over here, them trucks were swaying already and the wind hadn't even really got up, so it's pretty bad. In the Texas Panhandle, meanwhile, winds will be sustained from 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Relative humidity is forecast to drop as low as 15%, creating extremely dry conditions. A red flag warning will be in effect from mid-morning through 7 p.m. this evening, said the National Weather Service. Further east, winds will range from 15 to 25 miles an hour and gusts up to 40 miles an hour in parts of the deal. So I just want to, again, tell all my listeners how disappointed I am in all of you. And I'm talking to every one of you out there. Yesterday, I was trying to get you guys to donate money so I could buy a heifer over there at the K-Bar sale from Dean Kephart. I mean, she's a sweetheart. The picture of her does not do her justice. Nobody would donate because I was giving you an advertising deal. You donate the money, I buy the heifer, it's mine, but I will name the heifer after your wife, your ex-wife, your girlfriend, your mom, your grandma, or whatever. I'd do that much. And then I would mention who bought that and throw out a namesake deal once a week for a month. I mean, that was a bargain on advertising, but nobody took me up on it. Well, FYI, this is how good a judge I am on cattle. That heifer brought $29,500 yesterday. So you missed out. I mean, it's just that cow is going to make millions of dollars. That heifer will end up making millions of dollars. And you guys missed out on the free advertising and naming the heifer after the woman of your love, whatever you want to do. But anyway, just missed out. I don't know what else to say. But did you guys know that cattle have superpowers? Doing more with less. It's a matrix for many successful businesses spanning various industries, but did you know cattle already have this concept mastered? Traveling through rural areas across the country, it's common to see green pastures dotted with ruminant animals grazing. This familiar scene seems simple, but it isn't so simple at all. By grazing, cattle are expanding the land available for food production by consuming forages on non-arable lands that are unsuitable for agriculture. It is in their very nature to do more with less. How, you may ask? Approximately 29% of the land in the United States is too wet, too steep, too rocky, or too arid to support cultivated agriculture. Fortunately, this land can support cattle. Their unique four-compartment stomach and digestive system is home to trillions of microbites. These microbes allow cattle to benefit and gain nutritional value from sources other than animals can't digest and transform them into high-quality protein. Upcycling. In fact, about 90% of what cattle eat cannot be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. In addition to the grasses they graze on most of their lives, cattle can eat numerous and other food byproducts. They can take items like brewery grains, pea pulp, beet tops, potato peelings. They can turn it into it. The bottom line is the global populations continue to grow. Ruminant animals like beef cattle play a huge role in making more protein with less, no matter what AOC says, that they have too much gas coming out the back end and they're causing global warming. So anyway, she don't know what she's talking about, and I'm hoping that you guys have figured that out. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I'm going to go get me some batteries for the tractor installed in so I can bale some hay. Whenever we get some more thrashing, go move equipment to the next peanut field and enjoy. I might go golfing today. I'll see how far I can drive it with the wind at my back. Anyway, never know. Have a great day and God bless. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is KECO, Elk City.
A framework in hand on Lisa Brady, Fox News. Just before heading to Europe, President Biden announcing the template for the central part of his Build Back Better agenda. Less than $2 trillion worth instead of the $3.5 trillion originally proposed for a spending package he calls a historic investment in the nation and its people.
No one got everything they wanted, including me. But that's what compromise is. That's consensus. And that's what I ran on. I've long said compromise and consensus are the only way to get big things done in a democracy, important things done for the country.
He spoke after meeting with Democrats on Capitol Hill this morning. Some of the big priorities.